Lord is my rock. God is alive. Let us exalt him.
Thank you.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our light. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel 22. After a devotional meditation here, I'd like to ask Daniel Nisler to lead us in prayer as we kneel then. 2 Samuel 22, this is a psalm that celebrates David's relationship to his God and probably incorporates things that happened all through his life, but it's cast here as kind of his farewell psalm. Yet it's interesting to note that it's very nearly identical to Psalm 18. But you might want to look at that if you want to sometime. But right now, let's notice what David spoke to the Lord in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Of course, that was quite a lengthy pursuit, quite a lengthy run. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou savest me from violence." Now he had hidden in rocks and in caves, and he'd run around mountains. One time the story goes that they were on one side, he and his band were on one side of the mountain, and Saul's and his army were on the other side. You talk about a deadly game of cops and robbers. And he said, "I will call on the Lord." So even though he hid in rocks and in caves, yet he recognized that God was his real rock. God was his security. And he went to God and he prayed to God. "God now is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." And then I'll skip some here, even though some of this is very good. Verse 17, "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." And then skipping again, verse 26, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, and thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." I am going to pause for a bit. I'd like to go down towards the end yet too, but I'd just like to make an observation that our view of God makes a difference, and a basic difference in how we respond to life. If we think God is an austere God, a punishing God, or an unfriendly God, then we're just kind of waiting for him to zap us next. But if we recognize God to be a compassionate, merciful, and ever-present God, one with whom we can trust in, then we will react differently. In calamity, we'll run to him, and we'll pray to him, and we'll always place our trust in him. And that's the way David is expressing it here. It's a little bit like I see Jesus talking about his relationship to God in John chapter 17 here. We have him saying, "And now I am no more in the world, But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You see, Jesus had a relationship with God, and he's praying that we could have the same. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's one of our favorite psalms. It's that consciousness. No wonder the Bible calls David a man after God's heart. And we can be that way too, as we learn from the scriptures and from God. Skipping down to verse 47, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies." Maybe I'll pause there. You notice that I wanted to say this about verses 29 and 30. Notice in verse 29 that God is like a lamp. Life can seem very dark, and we need the light for the steps ahead of us. And God gives us light, and his word gives us direction. And then in 30, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." This run through a troop makes us think of a battle, and reminds us that that God will help us win. God is our general, our leader, and so on. And even if we lose a battle here on earth, we recognize that with God, he will win the war. We will win the war. I just love these verses. And somebody twinned in song verse 4 and 47. "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." Maybe it actually came from the wording in Psalm 22, but I think we could sing it. It's nearly the same here. Some of you that remember it, help me sing this. "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted." Thank you for helping me praise him. Let us kneel for prayer.
Well, good evening. I'm glad you're here. I'd like to tell you a story tonight about a man and his family, his children, and they had a huge decision they had to make, a big one. This is a long, long time ago, back when they used to have ships that had sails on them, had no motors, and they would take them months to cross the ocean. And because this family lived in the land of Russia, where it was cold in the wintertime, they had moved there a couple of generations earlier because there was so much persecution. These were Anabaptist people, and they'd been persecuted in the land where they lived, and you know, they had to give up their house, give up their business, and leave with just what they could pack together and flee. And they came to Russia because there was a woman there named Catherine the Great. And she said, come, live in Russia. You can live here, and we will protect you. But the Anabaptists had one question. What if there's a war? Are young men going to have to fight in your wars? Catherine the Great said, no. No, we won't do that. You're free. You don't have to fight. Wonderful. We'll come. They came. And they began building houses, building businesses, building farms. And they became very prosperous. One man had a farm that was so big it had 500 horses just to keep it plowed and tilled. Can you imagine that? Miles of land belonged to him. Well, then something happened. Catherine the Great died. There were other leaders that came into Russia, and things began to change. And with that change, the new leaders said, we want your men to fight. There's a war going on. We want your young men to be in our army. You have to protect the motherland, Russia. And they tried to get these young men to fight in the Russian army. Now, there was a father who was thinking about this, and he was considering, what is he going to do? He's got young boys. One was only 13 years old. But if this continues, little Jake is going to have to go into the army. And he didn't want that. He knew the Bible would never support that. Jesus said, they that take with the sword shall perish with the sword. Jesus forbade us to take human life or to fight in warfare or fight any kind of way. We're to be peaceable people, following the peace that is ours through Jesus Christ. And so this was a dilemma. Mom and Dad talked together. What are we going to do? Our nice farm. You know, there are people talking about moving and going all the way over to that distant land called America. And if we would go, we'd have to leave everything behind. Maybe this war will blow over and everything will settle back down like it used to be and we'll be comfortable again. Can we really trust God to go in a ship with just sails all the way across this ocean, take months to get there? Mom was a little bit scared about that. And Dad wasn't too sure either. And the children would listen to the big people talk, and they got scared too. And what's going to happen to them? Well, one Sunday afternoon, Dad said, you know what? Let's go over to Uncle George's. And all the children, the two children, actually there's three children, but Jake and his brother said, yeah, let's go. They hadn't seen their cousins for a while. You know how cousins like to play together, right? Okay. This was in the wintertime. There was lots of snow still on the ground. And it had been a long, cold, hard winter. And so Dad hitched up Belle and Star to the sleigh, and away they went. And they got on the road, you know. The road wasn't paved. It was just covered with snow and ice, and the horses pulled them, and away they went. And they got over to George's place kind of late in the afternoon, and the boys got outside there. And on the hill coming down from the barn, they sledded for a while. Then after it got dark, they went inside and they played hide-and-seek in the barn. And finally, they came inside where the grown-ups were. And the grown-ups were sitting around the table having a very serious discussion. You know, will God bless us if we leave Russia? Will God go with us? Can we actually trust God to take us to America and start all over again? And Jake listened as his dad talked, and Uncle George, how he talked. And so finally, it became fairly late. It was dark outside, and it was time to go home. So Dad went out, and he hitched up Belle and Star to the sleigh, and they got on the sleigh, and they said their goodbyes, you know. But it was cold, really cold. And Jake got on the back, you know, and he had this blanket he wrapped up around his head, and he huddled down in there and shivered for a little bit, and after a while it kind of got a little warmer, you know, and off they went. And he could hear the clop of the horse's hooves and the swish of the sleigh. It's kind of a neat sound, and they were going toward home. It was a nice, smooth ride, and it was a clear, cold night. And all of a sudden, Jake was jarred from his dozing when the horses lurched and took off running at a gallop, and he pulled his hood back, you know, and he looked over his shoulder, and there was Dad standing up with a whip in his hand, and he was beating the horses, and Dad never beat the horses. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with Dad. And then he listened, and above the clop of the horse's hooves and the swish of the sleighs on the snow, on the runners, he heard something else. It sounded like this. Woo! I wish. It wasn't coyotes, it was wolves. Yeah. And Jake was scared. Woo-hoo! they heard it again, you know. Many of them, woo, 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 woo. It sounded horrible. And Jake was wondering what was happening. And Dad was beating the horses, and they were galloping as hard as they could go. And he looked, and the steam was coming out of their nostrils, flying back across the harnesses, and they were going faster and faster. And then he looked, and in the snow, the white snow, he saw something dark come out on the road, and it turned and followed after them, after him. There he was, coming, galloping, running, running, running. And he looked. It wasn't a wolf. It was a bear. Yeah, they can. They can kill people. That's right. And that bear was running toward Jake on the back of that sleigh. Dad never saw it. Dad was beating the horses and going as hard as he could go. But out behind the bear came a whole pack of wolves. And they were, woo, woo, woo. They were running. And the bear was running, coming closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, he was right behind the sleigh. And Jake was all bent up like this, just, what's going to happen? And all of a sudden, that bear gave a big jump and jumped right on top of the sleigh. And Jake thought, this is it, I'll be dead in a minute. And you know what that bear did? He turned around, turned his back toward Jake, and looked back at the wolves. And the wolves kept coming, howling, snarling, closer and closer. And all of a sudden, one of those wolves snarled and jumped, and whoop! That bear hit him and went spinning off the side. Blip. The wolf didn't think that was funny. But his buddy thought he could do better than that, so he jumped and pop, off he went too. And after a while, there was another one laying on the side and another one. That bear just hit one after another. And the wolves that were running after those stopped and gathered around their fallen comrades, sniffed them a little bit and said, free lunch. Yeah. And they started devouring them. They were so hungry because of the hard, cold winter. And little by little, the wolves dropped back. And all of a sudden, the bear jumped off the sleigh and disappeared into the woods. Well, they got home safely. And Dad put Belle and Star away. He had to walk them because they were so hot. He had to walk them a while back and forth to kind of cool them down, rub them down. It took him a while to get them in their stall. And once he got them in their stall, he came to the house. And he got his wife and his three children, and he put his arms around them. And they began to pray. And they just thank God that God had used a bear to save their lives. Otherwise, those wolves could have gotten those horses, chased off the road, stumbled, and attacked all of them. They could have all been killed. But this way, they were all saved. And the father, as he was praying, said, "Now I know we can trust God to help us make this move to America." And they moved to America. And some of the relatives of little Jake still live in America. Now, when you find a difficulty in life, when you find something that you don't know how it's going to turn out, you need to trust God. You need to trust God because He is powerful. He can save you. And you know, if He can use a bear to save people, He can use anything. You never knew that? Well, now you know. Great. Thank you so much. God bless you. Remember, you can always trust God. Okay? You may go back to your parents.